This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Earlier this month, the CBC released a new podcast called Telling Our Twisted Histories. The 11-episode series reclaims Indigenous history by exploring 11 words, each of which have had their meanings twisted by centuries of colonization. Joining us now to tell you more is the podcast's director, Aussie Michelin. Aussie is an Inuk documentary filmmaker and award-winning journalist from Northwest River Labrador, and he joins us this morning via Skype. Hey, Aussie, thanks so much for making time to be on the program today. We're so appreciative.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the podcast captures history in a very interesting manner, and that's through the use of words. Why did the creators behind the podcast want to discuss history through language?
Well, language is just in general. It's just how we imagine our relationships to each other, our connections to this land, and our histories. So we really wanted to just sort of show how different words impact Indigenous people differently and how these words have been twisted by colonization. And also, these are really large, kind of complicated conversations. So just having a word as a starting point is a great way to sort of dive in if you don't know where to begin.
We'll take a look at some specifics in a moment. But just broadly speaking, in terms of the podcast, who's hosting the show? And what are some of the words that folks are going to be learning about?
Yeah, so we have the amazing Gunyadil Horn, who is hosting the podcast. She is a host for all 11 episodes. She's a Gunyagahaga, also known as Mohawk, from the community of Ganawage, which is just across the Saint Laurent from Montreal. And some of the words that we looked at, the very first word we started with was discovery, because that's a good place to begin. And if you ever want to elicit a reaction out of Indigenous people by one word, discovery is a good place to start, because if you say this to Indigenous people, they're going to roll their eyes, they're going to groan, they're going to say, nobody discovered us. We already knew we were here. People made contact with us, but they didn't discover us. Mm. We already knew we were here. And then we moved on. The next word that we focused on after that, we looked at school, which is a very timely topic right now. It's a very divisive word for many Indigenous people, because it's the source of one of our greatest pains, but it's also a way forward for our communities. And we don't dislike school, but we want to see school reimagined in a way that works for Indigenous people. And that's what a lot of people talked about in the school episode.
We actually have a clip here from one of the episodes with Gunyadil Horn discussing family names is the name of the episode. So let's actually give that a quick listen.
Awesome.
Olivia Aiki Duncan from the Inuit community of Kujuak.
There's a story behind the name Aiki. My mother's grandfather was a translator for the Hudson's Bay Company, who would travel with these white men as their translator, because he was a poor boy. He would go on planes with them, and he always wore old clothing and clothing that was too small for him. And people in the community called him Aiki. In Inuktitut, I is the sleeve of a shirt. And to be geek is having a short sleeve. Aikitolo, he has a short sleeve. So this is how they say we got our last name.
Aussie, something we talk about a lot here on the show is the way in which language frames conversation, that language is so critical. And we talk about identifying disability in particular ways. But this is a really interesting look at how family names have been a piece of colonization. So I'm curious how taking a look at this episode decolonizes the story of a family name.
Yeah, well, many folks, many Indigenous peoples didn't even have a concept of last name until European settlers came here. And it was European settlers that were like, well, there's too many Joshuas, so we need to find a family name. So we need to assign you family names, or we need to ask you, what do you want your family name to be? Oftentimes, they just went with the name of somebody's father. So in a way, but that to say that we don't, it's not that we dislike having last names or family names. It's just that the story of how we got them is a little bit twisted. So that, but now people are really, they identify with their family names. And for us in Indigenous communities, we use our family names as ways to know where each other is from, to connect with each other, to tell our relationships with the land, with each other. But we also talk in this episode about people who have reclaimed their names, about people who had generations ago, their family name was spelt wrong for some reason by a priest or somebody from the Hudson's Bay. So they were able to reclaim it and get the original spelling and pronunciation back. And we also talked to some people about the importance of giving their children indigenous names as opposed to like European style names, and just why that was important for them and what it means to them. So, you know, it just shows that there's a lot in our names, but some of it was not chosen by us, but some of it we are reclaiming and making our own.
How many different communities did you get to speak to over the course of working on this podcast? And who are some of the individuals that you ended up getting to spend some time with?
Yep. Well, we spoke with over 70 different Indigenous people from 10 First Nations and then Inuit as well, who are not First Nations. So 11 different groups altogether across the regions of Quebec, and then somebody from Labrador, and a few people from New Brunswick as well. And we talked to all kinds of just regular people. And that's what I really like about this series, is that we don't talk to any experts that are telling you how you should think. We just hear from regular people. Like, for example, we heard from Lisa Dutcher, who's a mother and grandmother. She's Wolastoqe, Maliseet is also known as, living in Fredericton. And she just kind of talked about her experiences and her views and, you know, why certain words, you know, how she reacts when she hears these words and how do they make her feel and how she would like these words to change or evolve or grow. And that's sort of what we heard from everybody. And I think that's why it's really important, because it's really personal and just sort of feels like you're sitting around the table with people, you know, just kind of hearing what their perspective is. And it gives you a chance just to sit in and listen to what they're saying. And personally, I think that's some of the best ways to learn from people, is to listen on their conversations amongst themselves. You know, the conversations that, you know, aren't directed at you specifically, but that are open for you to join in and listen. And that's one of the greatest ways, I think, to learn about anybody. So the podcast, I think, was really successful at that.
The podcast is also an incredible audio tapestry that sounds amazing. And it's unsurprising. There's talented people behind the podcast, so that makes sense to me. But one of the really neat decisions that you made is that when somebody was giving a quote in an Indigenous language, that quote was played out in real time and translated after the fact. Can you walk us through the editorial decision that went into that? Because it really added to the tapestry of the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we really wanted people to hear Indigenous voices, and we really wanted to hear them speaking as they naturally spoke. So if somebody was fluent in their language, we wanted to make sure that we were able to hear that and hear their voice being spoken. Because how often do you get to hear Inuamun on the national radio or on a podcast like this? So it was really just like a chance to hear and showcase something that doesn't normally get to be shown. And it's something that we were really proud of, and that we're really happy that we got to share this with other people, but we're also really happy for all the folks who this is their first language, and then they get to hear it in the podcast, so they can see themselves reflected back in it. And that just, that made me so happy. And it's in the school episode, we hear two Inu elders speaking in Inuamun. And it's a language that I grew up around. It's not my language, but it's a language of like the neighboring community to where I'm from. And it just made me so happy to know that I was able to share this beautiful language with everybody. So yeah, it was a priority from the get-go.
And beyond the audio richness, even a lot of the graphic design around the podcast is incredible. The visual graphic for the podcast is gorgeous. It's designed by a Cree graphic artist, Sebastian Aubin. The image is a red with a black raven and a text that reads, "Telling Our Twisted Histories, Decolonize One Word at a Time." Can you describe why the choice of the raven was so meaningful here?
I'm not entirely sure of the artist's choice for it, but I can tell you that in all of our communities and all of our cultures, the raven is always present in our stories and in our lives, and also just physically in our community. We all have ravens and crows, and they're just sort of part of the scenery. But also in many Indigenous communities and cultures, there's all kinds of stories revolving around the raven, whether the raven is a trickster, whether the raven is a central figure, an antagonist. It's just really present. So, you know, it's sort of, in a way, I could not say that we have just one bird that represents us, but it's one of the animals that I think a lot of Indigenous people feel connected to. I certainly do.
I want to jump into another one of the episodes, in particular the episode called Reserve, where one individual explains, while the word reserve is historically colonial, the meaning has evolved. So why do you think it's so important to look at the evolution of a word and have words reclaimed in these conversations?
Well, because it's already happening, you know, like we don't go and say, oh, the rest, for the purpose of reclaiming it. we just sort of say it because that's what we say in our communities. You know, that's what you what people who live on the res refer to it as. So yes, it has evolved, but we're just showing you the contemporary current usage of the word and just showing you how it's used in the communities. And I don't think that it was a purposeful action to reclaim the word. It just felt more natural and less formal. And when you say reserve, you kind of think of the government and funding and things attached to on reserve funding. But when you just say the res, it's casual, it's cool, it's the community. And I think it's a really a community-driven word. And I think that it's really important to show the language and the words that Indigenous people are using right now, just to show how our language is just alive, like every, you know, like everybody else. Like when we, not just our Indigenous languages, but the English that we speak or the French that we speak, we have our own versions of it. And res is just one of those words.
And just coming back more generally, as I mentioned, I really enjoyed the podcast. I think it was really well put together and really well done. If I'm not mistaken, this was your first time working as a writer and a director on a podcast. So I'm curious, what was that experience like versus working on sort of other forms of documentary? And what do you think's next for you now that you've had a chance to dabble in something new?
Well, let's see. I guess the podcast was, I'm a journalist by trade. And I really... It was different because I've never really made a series like this length, anything this long before. So it was really just, I had to stay very organized. We had over 20, 25 hours of interviews to keep track of and 11 different words. So it was just really like, I just had to stay very organized and keep on track. And they after I listened to all the interviews, I organized them based on the words and then wrote the script around it. So it really just felt like, you know, sort of what I normally do, but 10, 11 times bigger. And what I have up next, well, I just finished making my first documentary film with the National Film Board called Evan's Drum, and it's going to be premiering this fall at different festivals around the country, and then eventually coming out online for free on the NFB website. And I'm really excited for that. It's about the return of drum dancing to Labrador, and it's about, it came back maybe about 15 years ago, and it's a story about a mother who's teaching her son to drum dance, and they learn how to make a drum together, and it's a really special short.
Sounds like a beautiful story. So when that drops, hopefully we get a chance to reconnect with you and we can have you on the show once again, Aussie. Thank you so much for making time to be with us today.
All right. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.